Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Excuse me. Hey, good morning. Can I tell you guys the first thought I had when I walked out this morning and it was raining? My first thought was, have we ever run out of rain? Are we sure we're not out of water? How many days in a row? What are we at? Five?
Does it move like across the world too? Like, is it like one part of the world now has all of our water and it's getting transferred back over here?
It may be.
Is that how it works?
It's a big storm. I guess. Is it a storm? It's not even that violent. It's just rain. Lots of rain. Everything rain. Yeah, so good morning. Happy Friday. I mean, when will it stop? I have no idea. Stopping today? Looks like it might actually be done today and then return tomorrow. And Sunday. Memorial Day has a sun icon, but man, if you're out of town listening to us, you know, you tune us in on the app or wherever, or YouTube or whatever, good morning. It has rained here what feels like nonstop for 72 hours, which was in the forecast. So I guess we have to prepare ours, right? We're not surprised. We should not be surprised by this. This was expected. This is like Florida beating Carolina 2-0. Like, this is not surprising. Nothing about this is surprising. It was supposed to happen. Man, it is a lot of rain. And, okay, I thought March was supposed to rain like this. What's late May doing with this rain?
I thought it was April showers bring May flowers.
All right. What brings May torrential rain, biblical rain for five straight days? Does that bring June flowers? Man, a lot of flowers are already out. Hey, it's a soaking, nonstop 17-day rain. Guess we're all truly blessed. Hey, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's on vacation. He's back next week. I'm out next week. And I'm rocking solo today with the fellows here, Owen Parker, Josh Schmidt. They're both here hanging out. We've got plenty to get to this morning. Have packed the show. You know, fun Friday send-off. It's getaway day for me with my vacation coming up. So I've packed the show with a number of good guests. Have some good Bills conversations for everybody, including something coming up in a minute. Dave Buchanan on the Bandits. They are playing Game 3 in their series at KeyBank Center, and that game is sold out. So Game 3, which is going to be for the NLL Championship, the Bandits are tied at one game apiece. So that game is sold out, and it'll be tomorrow, 4:30 in the afternoon at KeyBank Center. We'll chat some Bandits with Dave Buchanan coming up at 7:15 about. 7:30, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. He just put out his series of most important Bills, where he asked a bunch of Bills analysts, content creators, kind of to give their list of the 10 most important Bills. I was on that panel. I'll give you my list, and I want to actually bring up that conversation overall. At 8, we'll talk with Matt Perino on the Bills and on Buffalo/Angola has a new UFC hometown guy, Patchy Mix. Maybe you've heard of him before, but starting to really climb up the ranks. We'll talk with Matt Perino coming up at 8. And Ian Harditz at 9 to chat a little fantasy football as you know, we get closer and closer to OTAs. We're getting to that time of year where, who was the running back I saw? One running back fumbled his first snap at OTAs, Tootin. I forgot where Tootin even got drafted, but he fumbled, and bad news, he's now, you can't draft him. Now, fade him in your rookie draft. So we'll dig through all that. Ian Harditz at 9 o'clock. Along the way, your phone calls, and you know, we'll kind of hang out, get some stats in, some fun stuff in. I've got a bunch of fun things to get to today. The NHL playoff format is on full display. The NCAA changed theirs. The NFL tabled theirs. Was thinking about the fact we have three leagues at the same time that all have goofy playoff formats, and only one of them is interested in fixing theirs, that being college football, and that lasted 1 year. So I'll dig into that a little bit as well. And a conversation on Keon Coleman I want to have with everybody here as well, because Coleman's evaluation at Reception Perception, which is a site I use to pretty much objectively look at all my wide receivers, how I think about wide receivers. I think it's a great way to break them down independent of their quarterbacks. Coleman, we have some troubling signs and also some stuff to kind of hang on to regarding his first season. So that's kind of the rundown. That's kind of what we'll do today. The thing I thought we'd start with on a Friday, like a fun Friday show and a good conversation with a bunch of answers. It kind of digs into Joe Marino's most important bills. And we did this series together. We posted it at the Bills Squad account on his Locked On Bills channel. Joe and I do a show with Jerry Ostrowski twice a week. And we kind of ran through what the panel came out with for the 10 most important bills. And with that, you know, each of us had our own votes. Some people had, I had Cole Bishop a lot higher than anybody else. Some people didn't even include a player like Dalton Kincaid or whoever. It was just your own evaluation of who the most important bill is for the Buffalo Bills this year, going forward. A lot of different ways to look at it. I'd like to do this year, though. You know, one of the comments I got in response to that whole rundown was the list should say Josh Allen 10 times, which I think is not that wrong, right? Like, Josh is, of course, number one and 2 through 10. If you want to do it that way, you could certainly say that of course, Allen's the most important bill. But for this year, who's number two? Because this is where the answers really went a lot of different directions. And for a long time, like in Joe's history of doing this project, and he'll join us at 7:30, of the 10 most important bills, one thing about when Diggs was here is that Diggs was pretty firmly planted in the two spot for a couple of years, two or three. You had a really firm number two guy, a guy riding shotgun with Josh, and of course he departs. And then it's been a little bit more volatile on who has that spot. Last year, Dalton Kincaid was way up at the top on most important bill. This year, he dropped quite a bit in Joe's panel. But we don't have to do panel. We don't have to do, you know, any sort of scoring system. You can just tell me who your number two is. Who is the second most important bill this season? They are favored to win every single game they play in, which is a fun stat. They're favored to win every game. I dug through the gambling numbers of it. They're basically favored to get the one seed. They're not favored to win the conference, but they kind of are favored to get the one seed because their over-under win total, the over pays the least, which kind of means you're most likely to hit your over of any team, and their over-under is 11.5. So you have a team that is, by all accounts, great, good to great, most certainly great going into the season. Josh Allen's your best player. No one would dispute that. And then when you get to number two, you might get 10 different answers from Buffalo Bills fans. Who's the second most important player on the team? So when I was digging into this and thinking, all right, Josh won. And then I feel like I've got a tier of players under that and trying to discover or figure out where I would land on who's the second most important player this season. Am I going for a newcomer that I am hoping pops for them? I mean, is it insane to say Joey Bosa? Because if he's what he can be at the peak of his powers, then that'll be a game-changing player. I mean, that is a new piece. I don't know if that's the most important piece, but he got some votes along the way. So 803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Give me your thought on that. The second most important Bills player. Number one is easy. You know, we talk about him a lot, and he'll probably be in the number one spot for, you know, like 10 more years. But two is more difficult. Two is a open competition. Maybe by week 6 or week 7 or week 10, we have a better idea of who that is. But trying to figure out the second most important player on this team, I often want to drift to someone that is going to work with number one, because if you have a top 1-2, you're going to be unstoppable. Of course, you know, the everybody eats mindset, that's kind of faded the individual importance, but raised, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, all Bills receivers and weapons, and they're all in there. James Cook's contract is a factor here that kind of faded him down the list with the panel. But overall, I think that we're looking at a team that is keyed in on defensive changes, keyed in on the front four, especially the front four. And when I think about the players that I'm expecting to make the biggest impact this year, not named Josh Allen, maybybe not expect to make the biggest impact. The turning point guys, right? X factor is an overused term here. The variables, if I may, which X factor could work there too. The variables. I'll tell you, if you really got a lot out of Michael Hoyt, I feel like that would work for you, Bills. It would work wonders. If Bosa, who I mentioned, or if Max Hairston is a true number one draft pick corner that makes us forget all about Kyer Elam. Like these things, to elevate the Bills back to where they used to be in the defensive rankings, which is consistently near the top. And that's what I'm finding ways to get to. They've added a number of pieces over there, and there's a lot of ways to get them back to a top 10 defense. Their schedule will help with that. They have a bunch of difficult games. They're all at home. And if there's one piece of that defense or a second piece of the offense just under Allen who is the most important this year, and you've got a thought on it, give me a call, 803-0550. I'll give you my tier. When putting this together and trying to figure out, like, all right, who is it? Who is the best answer for most important under Allen? I did want to go with guys that I think of as bankable assets rather than, you know, buy stock in some high-yield fund, if you'll allow that metaphor, like a Bosa or somebody like if Landon Jackson. I'm putting that all in a rookie. That seems like an awful lot. Josh Palmer is a newcomer. And is there a ceiling in there that could really blow the doors off? Maybe. But my tier two was Benford, Rousseau, and Dawkins. Like, Allen's the most important. And then those three guys are the next three most important. And it all came down to, for me, on those three guys, that those three are pretty bankably good to near great. Benford, great. Dawkins, I think, is great. And Rousseau, I think, is good to near great and might even be underappreciated. Like, I'm here hand up saying I might not appreciate Greg Rousseau on the level that he should be. But to me, 2, 3, 4 is you can shuffle them like shells how you want. And want Allen, and then those three. And then 4, well, that's when it gets interesting. So if you got a name you want to throw on this list, whether it's at number 2 or it's in the top 5, I think it's a fun Friday conversation we can have. It's just me today, me and a bunch of guests that are going to jump in. So if you want to jump in early with us, 803-0550 is the phone number, 1-888-550-2550. It's raining, so I know you're not out there golfing. You can just call us instead or doing whatever else you do outside. Maybe you run in the rain. I had to bike in the rain yesterday. That's part of a larger story. I'll tell you that a little bit later. 803-0550. We'll start off with Steven in Grand Island. Steven, good morning.
Hey there, Jeremy.
What's up, Steven? How are you? Is it raining where you are?
Yeah. It's a little wet.
Yeah.
But you know what they say, wetter the better. So wanted to get to who I think is the second most important player of the Buffalo Bills this year, and it's what we've always been searching for. As we get to the playoffs, we never have that defensive lineman stalwart who can break through. And I think a guy like Joey Bosa is healthy in the playoffs. If he could do what Von Miller was supposed to do for us, I think it would go a long way. And if you've seen his training photos, I think that Psy Doctor guy posted a Guess Your Psy yesterday with Joey Bosa. Did you see those legs?
So that, hold on. I saw the post from Thigh Doctor that said, guess the thighs. That was Bosa?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah, I would not have guessed Bosa. All right.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to hang up and listen, and let me hear what you think.
Thanks, Bosa.
Have a great vacation.
Thanks, Steven. I said thanks, Bosa. Sorry about that. It's early. Thanks, Steven. Bosa, man, he's a guy that I am thinking about for Hard Knocks, too. It's one of the things, like, as we're kind of adjusting to this Bills reality where they're getting such a big spotlight. I'm thinking about Bosa for Hard Knocks. I'm thinking about Bosa for a contract conversation. You know, the Bills add him, and it's 1 year with void years, which the way that the cap works on Bosa is – if it starts to go well, the Bills would be wise to look to pretty quickly extend it. Well, let's get more of this. We like where this is going. Part of the problem there is how long do you trust it? You know, the health. Can he be healthy? Can he be ready? He's battled back injuries and a bunch of other stuff along the way. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best. And I'm glad you bring up, you know, like Vaughn and the Bills chasing this position, because they really have. And they've chased it with good results. I don't want to say they've struck out at the defensive end position while looking for it. You know, mention Rousseau, one of their best players, top five guy in terms of impact. And Vaughn, that signing, looking back, that looks like it did not go well. And I think you'd probably say overall it didn't go well. The guy they signed, that went well. And then, of course, he got hurt, and it just became different. Now, that's a risk you are probably willing to take for an aging guy. But young guys get hurt. Young guys tear their ACLs. Young guys have those issues, too. As you get older, sure, there's an increased risk there. So the Bills, I don't have any issue with the Vaughn signing. You know, we could really dig into it and say it was a mistake and you could have spent that money somewhere else. But they were going for a finishing piece. And whenever they're good enough, which is about this good, and Brandon Bean or whoever's going to make a swing for a finishing piece, I'm going to support that for the most part. Because going for something, trying to win, whether it's a Von Miller as a finishing piece or for the Eagles with Saquon Barkley, it's a finishing piece. I mean, Barkley, what he did with the Eagles this year was amazing. I know it's a different position. I know the age was different too. But I like when teams like that are going to do it, go for the finishing piece. And for Bosa, yeah, if it's postseason, would you take this? How about this? And just would you take Bosa having a couple of big plays in November, December that help get the one seed without even saying what he does in the playoffs is it? The Bills this year are, of course, going to be gunning for the top spot. And Bosa as the second most important player, I think it's a reasonable answer just because when you say that, you're looking at a potential ceiling. And if the potential ceiling is number one pass rusher or 1A pass rusher there who comes in and can just kind of be your situational wrecker, game wrecker, your situation wrecker, make that one up right now, then the signing to me made sense from the start. And then if it comes together, I think we would have no problem quickly getting to, like, yeah, Bosa. I mean, they sign Bosa. They sign Hoyt, who's going to be a guy in the pass rush and doing other things as well. They draft Jackson. They draft T.J. Sanders. This front four got its makeover, right? It's a number of new pieces, new faces. And I want to say, like, almost front seven, even though there weren't a ton of linebackers, but Hoyt kind of falls in that mix of he can do a bunch of stuff. Thanks, Steven, for the phone call. Bosa, I think, is a good answer. Who's the answer on offense? I mean, we just rattled through five, six guys. I told you Benford, Rousseau, Dawkins. Benford, Rousseau, Bosa there, some of their newcomers. The second most important player on the offense. Kincaid was the answer to this question last year on who's the key, right? The first season of Everybody Eats and the first season of the post-Diggs weapon group for Allen was supposed to be, well, Kincaid is going to, he's going to feast. He's really going to eat. Ended up being Shakir that ends up the number one guy, really, with the most production and the most targets. But I feel like going into the season, we thought it was 1A, 1B, Shakir, or Kincaid. One of those two was going to be the one to get it. And it did not work out for Kincaid. I'm not pessimistic on his skill set and whether or not he can continue to be a difference maker and really jump up the pecking order because, you know, he's just kind of in the mix. And for him to establish himself more and break out, you know, Brandon Bean, when he's talking about Gronk and Kelce on the McAfee show, saying, you know, teams that have won Super Bowls have done it without number one receivers, have done it with number one tight ends. That's a high bar. And to get Kincaid to one of those spots is, well, it might not be likely, but to view him in that light is to indicate that you are kind of anticipating this guy might be the crown jewel of your passing attack. He'll be the guy that's the second guy where, you know, you'd have to go to Gronk and Kelce. You can go to Mark Andrews. You can go to Trey McBride, some of these pass-catching tight ends that get a lot of targets. So on the second most important bill, Kincaid was it last year. Again, we'll talk to Joe Marino at 7:30. His kind of consensus rankings. He faded a bit this year, but I think he's still important. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Then, of course, there are the players that you might put on the list this year, but you would not put in their long-term future, and that's, of course, James Cook. It's top of the list. And Cook, man, Cook is going to be interesting. He doesn't say much. He's on social media talking about his contract. He was at the Super Bowl talking about his contract. And we're about to see Hard Knocks. Will it be quiet? Will it be a little noisy? OTAs are not far away. Mandatory minicamp, not far away. The Bills are talking like Cook expects to be there. I feel like usually at this time, if a player is not going to show up, we have an idea that that player is not going to show up. We are at least discussing it. It's been suggested by the player or people in the media, and that has not happened for Cook. Pretty much from the jump, Bean has said we expect him to be here. I feel like it was maybe Albert Breer's report early on, or maybe it was Rappaport. Somebody, you know, the contract is not close. They tabled it, but he'll be at camp. So maybe that's something that Cook never even really considers. His agent, they don't think about that as a viable option, a viable way forward. But we're getting close, and if that got to, let me tell you this, if they got to mandatory minicamp and Cook did not show up, the executives at HBO and at Hard Knocks would pop champagne. Like, we got one. We got a hold out or a hold in. We've got a storyline we can track. But the good news is no one right now expects that. 803-0550, our phone number. Just me today. No Joe, no Nate, no Sal. Sal's coming up for the Extra Point Show, though, at 10 o'clock. So you'll get Sal at 10 o'clock. You can give me a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on this Friday, getaway day of Memorial Day weekend. A lot of racing this weekend, basketball, hockey, Bandits. Bandits game is sold out. One thing about the Bandits and selling that game out that I just like to say, and maybe you're someone that's been to a lot of Bandits games. I've been to a handful of Bandits games. Maybe you're somebody that goes tomorrow and you're ready to go. And if you're someone that kind of keeps an eye on the Bandits, you know, maybe you hear people mention them and how they win all the time and how they have the best attendance in the NLL by like 6,000 per game. It's massive. How the support for the Bandits is off the charts. And those tickets are not cheap. It is not some sort of, you know, oh, they're selling out because it's like 10 bucks a game. Like that is not the case. What's happening with the Bandits and the amount of support they get should be a reminder to the Sabres every day. Like, look at how many people will show up for a winner or a competitive team. And tomorrow, they got a full house to try and win their third championship in the NLL. So best of luck to them. You can hear the game, of course, here on WGR. It is a sellout. And to everybody out there, have a good time. 4:30 Saturday start time. Will it be raining when everybody walks in? Bring ponchos. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. No Joe today. He's on vacation. Just me. Plenty of guests along the way and your phone calls on the second most important bill. Think it over. Throw a name my way. Steven throws out Joey Bosa. Who's yours? And if you want to pin one to the offense and one to the defense, you can do that. The most important players on this team, not named Josh Allen. There are a lot of contenders. A lot to mention. 803-0550. Wide open phones for you until we get to Dave Buchanan on the band. It's at about 7:15 here on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just excited to experience something new, something different. We have a chance to do something special, and Josh texted me that, you know, that if we do what we set out to do, we could really be immortalized in this town. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is winning a championship. And that's, I think, why people are here.
Joey Bosa. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Rainy Friday. At least it's a Friday. Bosa there. We had our first caller this morning say his name when I asked, who's the second most important bill this season? your Buffalo Bills, stars of the NFL in a number of ways, Hard Knocks, Holiday Touchdown Movie. Or maybe I should get a better title for that, right? What's it going to be called? Is it Holiday Touchdown again? That's what the Chiefs one was called. Anyway, not important.
I think that's like the series, and then there's like
the franchise? Yeah, the Holiday Touchdown franchise.
And then you add on a thing for the specific team, maybe?
Will they go to all 32 teams?
A Browns
love story? A Saints love story? Will they get to all 32, or will they double back?
It's a Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story.
And the Chiefs one was called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story?
I think it was.
All right.
So I watched it. It was. It was. I hope that the Bills one has as much Bills like nostalgia and things in it as the Chiefs one did, because it'll be a nice trip down memory lane for a lot of people.
How many Chiefs that you recognize were in it?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was in it.
Okay.
I remember that because it was, you know, the movie came out and then like a week later he got cut. Andy Reid was in it. And other than that, it was like a couple offensive linemen and like some backup linebackers, I think. But
okay. The Bills appear to be pretty well represented in this.
Yeah, Sal rattled off some names yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Sal's down there for the shoot. So anyway, that's what we talked about. We opened up with who's the second most important Bill for this year? First answer came in was Joey Bosa. You can give us a ring, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. A quick update on the rivalries uniforms. So this new thing that's coming out this year, there's going to be uniforms that the Bills are going to get a new uniform set. It's going to be part of the rivalries program that the NFL and Nike have launched. Each team designs a new uniform for a game for games against division rivals. Maybe you've heard the start of this. Well, we got our first small indicator of what's happening with another team. Okay, so this team is not in the rivalry program, but they're doing a uniform for a rivalry. So the NFL announced, this is a statement from somebody, Cal and Hannah McNair, of the Texans. I know the NFL announced a rivalry uniform. We get to do ours in 2026 against the division rival. So there you go. The Bills are doing it this year. The Texans will be part of 2026's rivalries uniform. And each of these sets will last for 3 years. So I suppose in 3-4 years, you'll have most teams with another set that they wear against their division rivals. So she says they're working on the uniforms. That's Houston. Is working on these uniforms, which don't come out this coming season, but the next season. And they've given a clue. They look really good. We're excited. So here are the Texans. I feel like we're doing the stadium fly-through. This team doesn't even have a uniform until next year. And they're talking about how they've seen them. We got to get these Bills uniforms as soon as possible. But what is going to be the characteristic of this? You know, they look good. They're not finished. We're working on them. These are the quotes in this article. But the operative phrase that they're using for the Texans are using is certain colors. When it comes to certain colors, we will have certain colors. That's the quote that people are kind of latching onto. And that is that the Texans will wear like their Oilers colors uniforms. So whether that's the Texans logo in Oilers colors, it's a lighter blue, right?
That would make people mad, I feel like. Like, I feel like people would get really mad at
it's
that.
It's a good question. You say that, and then yet the Sabres had a jersey of the goat head in blue and gold. And that looks kind of cool. Like, I think it's...
Yeah,
now, that's a reverse, like, that's a reverse retro.
I feel like that's different, though. Like people were so mad when the Oilers left, and then, you know, everything with the Titans and all that history there. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's... It's like animosity towards that, maybe.
I mean, they wore them in a game... Didn't they wear them kind of recently? Didn't they wear them against the Titans? Maybe? Anyway, the Houston college team wore these colors. And again, you might be mad at the guy that took the team out of Houston. Are you mad at the colors? Are you might be nostalgic for the colors. That those colors belong to Houston. Yeah, here's a picture. The Titans used the Oilers uniforms against the Texans. The Titans used the Oilers. Yeah, I got that right. Titans used the Oilers uniforms against the Texans. So anyway, this Bills rivalry series, we are not that far away. from getting a new set of uniforms from the Bills. And I, for one, cannot wait for this. So I wanted to bring that story up just because, you know, here you go. It's here's a team a year out, and they have a pretty good idea of what they're going to wear. And it might just be Texans jerseys in Oilers colors because they're going to implement those colors. 803-0550. Marty in West Seneca is up next this morning. Hey, Marty.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Marty. What's
you
up?
You guys are talking about offensive, defensive players that make a difference.
Yeah, the most important player that's not Josh Allen, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going cornerback in general.
All right.
They get beat up on the outside. And Maxwell Harrison ain't the answer because he can't tackle.
All right.
Well, he can't support the run. He can't do nothing. You need a, you know, well, Bernard or whatever you want to pronounce it.
Sure, Terrell Bernard is.
When he was hurt, guess what happened? It went down the chute, you know?
Meh. Okay,
yeah.
Marty.
This cornerback, I don't know what you do with that, you know?
Yeah, thanks, Marty. They've got, you know, Tre'Davious White is in the mix there. Harrison, I don't know. I'm going to come into this Bills offseason, this training camp, kind of believing quite a bit in Harrison. You know, do you want your corners to be the best they can be in run support? Yes. But there are plenty of really, really good ones that aren't the best. And with Harrison, I guess the scouting report on him when they drafted him was he's willing. So coach him up, teach him a little bit better technique. The size, you know, maybe they had some size there, maybe not. But my favorite thing I read about Harrison during the draft process was how he'll win with it. He wants to win with his feet. And, you know, Kyer Elam, who we just heard from yesterday in Dallas, saying it's nice to be a part of something like this. The energy here is like nothing he's ever felt before. Like, all right, good luck, Kyer Elam. It never worked with Elam from pretty much his first training camp. Training camp one, there were kind of red flags. Like, he's too grabby, and they think he's so grabby that they're going to put gloves on him so he can't grab the uniform. And with Harrison, he's a different player. Like, he's not going to grab. He's going to win with his feet and win with positioning and have closing speed and makeup speed. So, you know, if there is a fatal flaw in the way that he won't tackle, then there might be packages where the Bills are gearing up to protect against that. Or, I don't know. He's willing. The story is he's willing. We'll find out. He would not be the first corner in league history that is willing but maybe not able. 803-0550. Benford, of course, is super important. Benford is one of their top three most important players. I think consensus top five behind Allen, and then you could put Benford too. He's been a very, very good corner for them since pretty much, again, since he showed up. I wonder what percentage of these players you could say from seven games in you've known what they are, who they are, what they are. Because some guys do experience a slow ramp up into growth, and others are just ready to go. 803-0550 to join us. Thanks for the phone call, Marty. 1-888-550-2550. So, Owen, you had a stat of the day for me? I was going to wait till the next segment, but we got a little time here. So, you had a stat of the day?
Yeah, I got a little Stuart Skinner information here. Okay. This
Is it better than yesterday's stat that his save percentage in the playoffs has either been .834 or below or a complete shutout, 1,000?
It was that. That okay. was my idea. Like, I was just the Jekyll and Hyde of being either below .830 to a shutout.
Yeah.
Is an exemplary sort of sneak peek into the world of goalies.
Okay.
Like, there's just such a high and low to every single guy. We see it with UPL this year. Stuart Skinner is the microcosm, these six games. And it's, you see the ebbs and flows and you see the back-to-back shutouts. It all comes up and then dive bombs.
Yep.
And it I just thought it was such an interesting way to look at and show how hard it is to have consistent goaltending in this league now with the way it is in this era. And it only continues to get worse, I find, with those guys like, you know, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Shesterkin are probably the three guys that you could rely on every year, right?
Yep.
There's not really anybody else. Who else is out there that's that level of guy?
Right.
And it just, I don't think it gets talked about enough. It's such an important part of building a solid team that I think general managers as a whole undervalue, and you see that in contracts, and you see that in drafting. Drafting is a little more understandable because of how difficult it is to project them. But I just found how just stunning, jarring the difference between the top, you know, Connor McDavid. What's Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews making versus Hellebuck makes like eight. And he's the best guy every year. And I just find that to be such an undervalue. I find it to be like running back in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right, where the best are the best and worth it. And then once you get off that top tier. So Skinner's save percentage by game this postseason in order.
Yeah.
800, 822, 833, shutout, 815.
Right, and in between the 833 and the first shutout were Calvin Pickard games.
Right.
Like,
and I guess you shouldn't be surprised. If you're an Oilers fan or you're a hockey fan like watching the series, you should not be surprised. His save percentage by month, April was 873. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, April was 972. March was 873. February was 867. January 921. December 913. November 898. October 872, like multiple long stretches sub 900 for Skinner. You know, one other thing about these playoffs, I mean, I'm mad at myself for not just laying the house, everything you own, on Florida beating Carolina.
Oh.
This was supposed to be in a regular NHL format, or rather a regular playoff format. This is a first round matchup. Florida Carolina is the 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they here in this matchup, in this spot? Because of the NHL's artificial thing where they have the league's best division, which the one the Sabres are in, I think it's consistently been the best in terms of having four awesome teams. What happened? The same thing that always happens. The Leafs beat a good team, and then, the Leafs were the one. Florida beats Tampa in the first round. That is the two and the three in this side of the bracket. If you did like one, two, three, four, the two and the three. And then Florida beats Toronto, who's the one. So this is the worst team they've played yet.
Right.
Carolina, by
and it
far.
It looks that way.
It's by far the worst team they've played yet. It's just kind of, it's wild to me that we had the NFL playoff format discussed for a couple days this week, and they did not vote on it. You have three leagues that have a playoff format that is just kind of goofy and does not accurately put together a bracket where the seeds are appropriate. Three leagues at the same time. The only league that changed it was college football, and they did it after 1 year. 1 year of their format, and they thought, not okay. Straight 1 through 12.
Right. I find that speed of a decision-making from college football so admirable. Like, I wish that the other leagues were self-aware enough to realize we can make our product in the playoffs, which should be your bread and butter, this much better.
Right, we can get better teams.
Right. Better games, better series.
Better teams along later.
Everything.
Yep. Looking at just like the league standings, the whole league, Toronto was the fourth best team in the playoffs. Florida is the 11th best team in the playoffs. Carolina's 10th. So if you're Florida, your road to get to this point was to beat number overall NHL seed, number 7, then number 4, and now you're playing number 10.
Right.
And it gets easier as the playoffs go along. And that's not supposed to happen.
Right. And the games always get, like, as the NHL playoffs go, the games get worse and worse. The first round's always the best because guys just get worn down.
Yeah.
And so you see that happen. And then you get teams that are probably not matched up that well in these late rounds. And the hockey's just not as good. It's really frustrating.
803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out today. He's on vacation. It's a Friday. It's raining. Join us. Who's the second most important bill, in your opinion? We all know who number one is. You think there's a good answer on number two? We've heard Joey Bosa and the cornerbacks. So give us a ring. 803-0550 here on WGR. Hey, guys. Quick question for you here. We used to play a game on this show, I don't know, like maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10, maybe two, who knows. Click or don't click, where you find a link in your daily perusal of, you know, the internet. And, Should I click on that? Let's play the game. All right. This is one that I'm interested. Headline, today.com from the Today Show. People can't get over the way Tom Cruise eats his popcorn. His best stunt.
Wow.
Oh.
What do you think?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the guy that hung on the side of an airplane.
Yeah.
So
they can't get over how he eats his popcorn.
I'd like to click on that.
You want to find out?
See what it is.
This is the kind of thing that I see and just like throw my phone into a well.
You don't want to know?
I don't care. I don't care how Tom Cruise eats his popcorn.
He says it's his best stunt.
I don't care.
They say people can't get over it.
You guys are suckers.
How many different ways can you eat popcorn? Did he invent a way to eat popcorn? I want to know.
Is he one of those people that holds the bucket and then like sticks his tongue out to pick up the popcorn?
That's very believable. Who doesn't eat popcorn like that? Just sticking the tongue in the bucket, right? Everybody, if you have your own, everybody does that, right?
Maybe this has something to do with how much I do of the headline writing in here, and I just know that it's nothing in there. There's maybe some factor of that.
All right, I'm watching the video. I'm reading the article about how Tom Cruise eats his popcorn because people can't get over it.
See, this is how I need to find out. I just need you to tell me, and then I know, and then that's it. That's all I need.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell only Josh and not you because you mocked us. Okay. You don't want to know.
I'll take my headphones off.
Yeah, all right. Take your headphones off. Josh, apparently he holds the popcorn really low, and he throws kernels in one at a time, like with force.
So it's almost like remember when you were a kid and you like throw it up in the air and you try to catch it in your mouth?
Yeah,
except. But he's just like throwing it right at his mouth.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what food you do eat like this where you just.
I feel like there's a lot of food you can eat like this, but it's just not advisable because it's like.
How do you eat popcorn? Doesn't everybody just get a fistful and then slowly shove it into their face? And whatever goes in, goes in. Whatever comes out, comes out?
Pretty much.
And you catch the remnants and then you go back again.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, a backhoe filling a dump truck.
You're lying down and it's just on your chest.
Yeah.
Right.
This is bad.
That's the normal way to eat popcorn. Yeah. Everybody knows that. All right. 803-0550, our phone number.
Just seems super ineffective.
One at a time?
Like the throwing one at a time? Yeah.
Well, he's not wasting popcorn.
That's true.
He's got love for the movies.
It's going to take you a whole movie, though, to eat a large popcorn.
It might be one at a time. Yeah. Who's doing one at a time? 803-0550. Dave Buchanan on the Bandits at 7:15. And Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, 7:30. We open the show talking the most important player on the Bills that isn't Josh Allen. You can give us a call on that. Ryan, if you're on hold, if you can stick with us, we'll get to your call on the other side as well. Playoff format stuff, because it's been a lot of the talk in the NFL and college football. Changed their format after 1 year, going straight 1 through 12. So plenty to get to. Next hour, some Bandits, some Bills, some Sabres as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Joe out today, out on vacation. He'll be back next week. Come hang with us here on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.